tonight. We're in the midst of some very uncertain times, and we appreciate the investment that's been made by the people of FBT that we might have the opportunity and electronic ability to be able to live stream the services and be able to keep each one safe and sound in their own homes. And so I hope that as you tune in tonight, that you'll be blessed by the Word of God and the things from the Word of God. Let me make you aware of a couple of additional things that we're either beginning or continuing here at this time. A reminder of our FBT core and emails that will be forthcoming from myself or other updates from our church staff. You might make it a habit to check your email related to the church updates and anything that's coming by way of announcements and any schedule changes that are there. I sent out an email to the church family today and gave several of the schedule changes that are coming through the end of March. And so you might notice that email. And then also a reminder of the opportunity for your children to tune into our church's Facebook site. And if they go there, they'll find a special message from Mr. Wade. And I know that he misses being with the kids each and every Sunday. And so he has a special address to the young people and those in Children's Church. And so they can find that on our church's Facebook site and see that special greeting from Mr. Wade. Also, you'll note in your email address from the church core and the church administration, you'll note our prayer sheet. And we'll be sending that out on the Wednesday night services. And you'll be able to stay in tune with the updates as it relates to prayer requests and other needs that are on the hearts of our people. If by chance you have a prayer request that you would like to phone in, you can do that by calling the church offices, and we'll be able to add that to the coming week's prayer lists. If you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, it is very appropriate that we're now in the midst of this section of scriptures. We are looking at John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John 16, and John 17 as it relates to the final lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've worked our way through the first 14 verses, and we're delighted to have those joining us from the Awana program. So we have so many adults that work on a weekly basis with our kids in Awana, and perhaps you've not been able to participate and or listen to the services here from Wednesday nights. But to bring you up to speed on what we've looked at thus far, it's very appropriate for us to go back to John chapter 14 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Boy, it's a wonderful statement, but it's only a wonderful statement in light of what the Bible says in the second part of the verse. Let not your heart be troubled, not because of what's taking place in Washington, D.C., not because of what's taking place in the courthouse, not because of what's taking place on the financial markets. No, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so for us in 2020, we face uncertain things in the world around us, but our lives are based upon a very certain word. The foundation of this promise of let not your heart be troubled is found in those following verses, and we've looked at those things. We've looked at the place that God has prepared for us. We've looked at the promises that He's given. We've looked at His presence with us, and considered the question that was asked of the Lord Jesus Christ by the disciples when they said, "Show us the Father." And so we looked at that in the previous Wednesday nights. Tonight we want to look at one verse, John chapter 14 and verse number 15. Be great for your family to commit this verse to memory. It's only a few words, and yet it has such great wisdom and help for us in this day in which we find ourselves. Would you look at John chapter 14 and verse number 15? John 14 and verse number 15. John 14, verse 15. The Bible says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments." I ask each one tonight, do you really love God?
Do you really love God?
Would you say tonight that you're really obeying God in all of the areas of your life? The Bible says here in John 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We might ask ourselves this question: do we act like Christ? If you would follow with me into the previous verses, I've made reference to the statement there from Philip. If you look at that previous passage, the Bible says in verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father. So the disciple said, show us the Father, and it will suffice. The Lord walks through and he says, have I been with you so long, and yet now you're saying, show us the Father? He's saying to the disciples, you have been with me, you have watched me, you have eaten with me, you have been with me in my goings and my comings. You have stayed with me. You have been there for these 3 years, and yet you're saying, or these 3.5 years, and yet you're saying, Lord, show us the Father. The Lord's response was thus: my works and my life reveal the Father. The Bible says in verse number 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What if the world were to say to each one of us, show us the Father, or show us the Son? What would be our response? So you're walking in your neighborhood one day, and someone sees you there in a neighborhood, and they stop you, perhaps as they're driving by, and they make a statement with the roll down window, and they say, you know, I watch you go to church every single Sunday, or perhaps every single Wednesday night. I would love for you to show me your Heavenly Father. It's kind of what the disciples did. They'd been with the Lord for 3.5 years. They had lived with him and stayed with him, and they now say in these final days, show us the Father. Well, the way that the Lord demonstrated what he had shown about the Father, he said, I want you to consider what I've shown you in my life and in my works. I want you to think about those statements, and especially think of those statements in light of other people in the world today that might look to you and to me and say, show us your God. How can we demonstrate to a lost and dying world, how can we demonstrate to our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members, our friends, how can we demonstrate to all of these people that we love the Father, that we love Almighty God? How can we do it? Well, the Bible says very clearly, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we really love God, then the Bible says we will obey him. You know, we have all kinds of people in the world today that say that they love God. There are all kinds of athletes that score the touchdown or win the championship and go to that interview right after the winning of the game, and they say, I just want to thank God who made this all possible, and they give reference to Almighty God. There are all kinds of religious leaders that give reference to Almighty God. There are all kinds of politicians that give reference to their religion and to Almighty God. So everybody acts as though they love God, but then they live their life for themselves. Well, tonight we come to this topic and we ask ourselves, what does it really mean to love God, and what does it really mean to keep his commandments? As the Savior lived in obedience to the Father, and it showed the people around him all about the Father, so we too can live in obedience and show people the Son. We would ask this question, did Jesus love the Father? We'd answer that and say yes. Well, how do we know, or how do others around us know, that we love the Father? They will see it in how we obey. I will readily admit that the word obedience was not one of my favorite words growing up. In the process of growing up, I remember many occasions where authority over me would say, "Now you need to obey." And that was always difficult. And to this day, I would probably say about that stage in my life, I'd probably say that I really didn't understand all that they were saying when they told me that I had to obey. Well, when we come to this verse, it ramps up the importance of our obedience. And the Bible says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey what I've said." Well, let's ask this first question tonight from the first half of the verse. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to really love God? Well, first of all, it's not an emotion. It's not an emotional roller coaster where you're in love and out of love, in love and out of love. It's also not a feeling. It's not like that boy and girl that write to each other and say, "Oh, I love you," and then the next day they've fallen out of love and they move on to another boy or girl. It's not an emotion and it's not a feeling. No, my friend, this is an act of the will. You see, God willingly sent his son to die on the cross for us. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world. That was an act of God's will. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God demonstrated his love. This was an act of God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word that is used here in both of these situations here, "for God so loved," or "herein is love," is the agape word for the word love in the Greek language. It's interesting to note that God used that same agape word in John chapter 14 and verse number 15, where the Bible says, "If ye love me," he is saying to you and to me as believers, "If ye agape me, keep my commandments." Say, "Pastor, I don't really get the analogy there." Well, take your Bibles and go with me over to the last chapter of John. And we've looked at this story before, and other guest speakers have looked at this story as well. But this is where it may recall to your mind the difference or the contrast of this love, this word love in the original language. Do you remember this story where Jesus is with Peter there on the shores, and he has another conversation with Peter on the heels of the conversation that they had before Christ died on the cross? Do you remember that Christ told Peter that Peter would deny the Lord three times? And then the Bible says the cock would crow, and upon hearing that crowing there, Peter was reminded of what the Lord had said: "You will deny me." Well, now in their first opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation, the Lord says to Peter three times this statement or this question. It's found in John 21 in verse number 15. He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord," going back up a little bit further, he says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" The word love there is, again, that agape word. It is the word for selfless, self-sacrificing love. It is the same word that is used with the Father sending his Son in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It is the same word used in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. And it is the same word that is expected of you and I in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. Now, you may recall the demonstration of the Greek wording there in John chapter 21. The Lord says, "Peter, do you agape me?" Peter responds, "Lord, you know that I phileo you." And then the Lord asks him again and says, "Peter, do you agape me?" "Well, Lord, you know that I phileo you." In other words, "I love you like a brother. I have brotherly love for you." And the Lord says to him, "Do you have selfless, self-sacrificing love for me. And Peter was not willing to go to that length as of yet, but as we follow Peter's life, we know that he was willing to give that kind of love back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in John chapter 21, we have this question asked of Peter. And for all of us tonight, we have this question asked of us. If ye love me, disciples, do you love me? Going back to John chapter 14. Disciples, if ye love me, if ye agape me, if you are willing to agape or to be self-sacrificing and to have the love that is demonstrated by the Heavenly Father through the Son to the world, if that's the kind of love that you're willing to give, then you'll keep my commandments. Well, let me ask you this question tonight. How do people know that I love my wife? How do people know that I love my wife? Well, there's several symbols of it. So if we think about those symbols, we go back to a ceremony in October of 1992. A church up in Maryland and family and friends are gathered, and I stood there at the front of the auditorium with my best man and several other friends, and we awaited the time frame in which the doors of the back of the auditorium would open, and there was my bride. And her dad walks her down the aisle, and the preacher at the time said, "Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?" And I think my father-in-law said, her mother and I. And I'm very grateful for my in-laws, so let me just put that plug in. I'm very thankful for my mother and father-in-law. And then my father-in-law stepped aside, and I took over in the place of my father-in-law and held my bride's hand, and I committed to her in my vows. And in fact, all those vows are still on VHS tape, if you can imagine. And on a couple of occasions, we've had that VHS tape out and we show it to our boys, and they can't imagine the hairstyles from back then. They can't imagine the styles of dress and everything like that. It's so much different, but don't fear, it'll come back in. It'll be back in about another 10, 15 years. It'll all come back in. But everyone that was there that day in the auditorium in 1992 witnessed my statements to my bride, Rebecca. So they listened to my vows as I shared them with her, and I committed to her and her only. So I repeated certain things. And I said, "I will love you from this day forward. I will care for you from this day forward. I will seek to lead you from this day forward." And then she shared vows with me, and we demonstrated to one another in the sight of those witnesses that we were committing our love to one another. And then the speaker says, "What is the token that I've given to you? Or what is the token that you will give to each other that demonstrates that you are now going to be husband and wife?" And so we pull from the best man a ring for myself, and we pull from the best man a ring for my wife. And so we then wear a ring, and it demonstrates to everyone that would see my hand, hey, he's married. Now that day, and those vows, and that giving of the rings was an act of the will. There was a time in my life where I saw my wife for the very first time, and I didn't know her at all. I didn't know her name. I didn't know anything about her. But I asked her out, and she said yes. And as we went out on that first date, we had an enjoyable time together. I said, "I would like to take her out again." And she said, "Yes," again. And then I said, "I'd like to take her out again." And she said, "Yes," again. And so we began to create a bond that led us to that marriage altar where we would share vows and we would exchange rings, and we would demonstrate to everyone with a token, with a statement, that we loved one another. And the Word of God gives to us a statement here, and it says, if ye love me, here's the token, here's the gesture, here's how everyone will know, here's the ring on your finger, this is the identifier. And he says, this is the identifier of those that love me, they will keep my commandments. So everyone that was there in that service that day would look back and say, oh yes, I remember the vows that Todd made. Oh, I remember the vows that Rebecca made. I remember the exchanging of the rings. I can go to the videotape and I can see what they said. They had an act of the will. And they agreed before God that they would love each other till death do they part. There's a token that demonstrates that this is my bride, that I am her husband. And that token is that ring or that vow, that commitment. And so everyone knows based upon that day that I am with this bride. God says, if you want everyone to know that you're with me, you'll keep my commandments. This is not a flighty decision. This is not emotional. This is not a roller coaster. This is not I'll please God today and do my own thing tomorrow. This is you and I committing before God as an act of the will, saying, Lord, I love you. I love you with a selfless, sacrificial, God-honoring love. It's an act of the will. How do people know that I love my wife? There are things that demonstrate my love for my wife. How do people know that I love our sons? There are things that demonstrate that I love our sons. How would people know that we're a part of a family? Because of our love for them. We demonstrate it. Well, God is saying, here's what I expect of those that really love me in more than just word, but also in deed. They love me and they obey me. They keep my commandments. Number one, what does it mean to love God? It is not emotional. It is not that of your feelings. It is an act of the will, a decision of your life that you will love God. Again, keep in mind, the Bible says it's not as though we love God and then God loved us. No, the Bible says God loved us. We were the enemies of Almighty God, but he demonstrated his love for us. And so in turn for that sacrificial love that he demonstrated through his only begotten Son, we express our love back to him by keeping his commandments. So number one, what does it mean to love God? There's the first part of the verse, if ye love me. Here's the second part of the verse, what does it mean to obey God? What does it mean to obey God? Boy, that's a hard word. There's only four letters in that word, but oh, how difficult of a word that it is. I remember back to the days where our boys were very small, and surprisingly, we never had to teach our boys the word no. The word no came to them so easily. Son, will you do this? No. Will you go here? No. Will you pick up your toys? No. My wife and I never taught them the word no. But they learned that word so quick. Perhaps it's because of how many times we told them no. And so perhaps it's because they heard that word over and over and over again. And I just had to say, Reagan, no. Carson, no. And so they learned that word. So then they begin to repeat it back to us. I don't know. But there's something about this word obey that just runs absolutely contrary to the flesh. And so we don't have to teach youngsters the word no. We don't have to teach the word mine. Youngsters pick that word up very easily. They're very selfish. They're very oriented towards their own flesh. And so they're very prone to say no. And yet God says that as we grow in our love for him, that we keep his commandments. I want to give you four things tonight that demonstrate our obedience to Almighty God. And again, these are not easy things, but I believe that they're things that ought to be lived out in every single believer's life. Would you notice number one with me, as we walk into this matter of what does it mean to obey God, number one, if I'm going to obey his commandments, I have to know his commandments. The Word of God is like a guidebook. I remember being in the academy here, and with the academy, they would give to us a rule book. And we'd have to follow that rule book. And if we ventured outside of the rule book, we might experience demerits, we might get in trouble, we'd be found out, and then we'd be disciplined because we disobeyed the rule book. When I went off to college, they gave me a rule book. And they said, okay, take the rule book that you have from your previous academy, and that's that. Here's the rule book that you have for college. And you know, there were more rules in college than there were in the framework of high school and junior high. But as I look back, neither of those two books compared with the law book or the rule book that Almighty God has given to us. And the Bible says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, the first thing that every believer has to say is, well, Lord, if I'm going to keep your commandments, I need to know the commandments. It's impossible to know the commandments if you don't know this book. Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Thy word, this book, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Some have well said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. So the Bible clearly tells us that the more of this book we put in, the further we're going to stay away from sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, the first one deals with sin. The second one, I believe, is the direction of sanctification. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Boy, I'm so thankful for lights. I'm so thankful for the lights that will lead our path, that will illuminate our steps. Verse number 11, Psalm 119, stay away from sin in using and knowing this book. Psalm 119, 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Here's the path of sanctification. Here's the way you ought to go. Well, this Bible illuminates our path. It tells us the right way. Now, folks, this is what brings me to the point, if I don't know his commandments, I'm not going to obey them. I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to go my own way. And the Bible says that this is the light that should be lighting my path. So I ask each one tonight, do you know the commandments of the Word? Do you know the commandments of the Lord? When the Bible is handed to you as a young person, do you begin to meditate upon it? Do you begin to study it? Do you begin to see how the Word of God applies to your life? We are dealing with a society that wants to give lip service to Almighty God, and yet they never pick up a copy of His Word and see how it applies in their life. You see, I really cannot know God unless I know what He has said in His Word. Some have well said, the Bible is not all that God knows, but it is all that God wants us to know right now. So if that's true, am I taking in the things of the Word of God? Am I learning these things from the Word of God that I might not only know of my salvation and the matter of sin in my life, but that I might know the right path for sanctification? Thy word is a lamp. Number one, if I'm going to obey His commandments, I have to know His commandments. Do you know the Word of God? Number two, if I'm going to obey His commandments, I have to seek to follow all of his commandments. See, the Word of God is not a pick and choose kind of matter. It's not a, I like that commandment, but I don't like that commandment. I like that, but I don't like that. I like that, but I don't like that. No, the Word of God is saying to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey in all these things. So let me ask each and every one of you right now, especially the children that are watching right now, are any of us perfect? No, we're not perfect. Are we going to be perfect on this side of glory? No. But I tell you, the more that I grow in Christ and the more that I follow the commandments of the Word of God, I certainly ought to be sinning less. As the Holy Spirit of God does his work in my life, and we've used that statement about discipleship and about the matter of sanctification and the Word of God being used to make each believer more like the Son of God. It is not a book of pick and choosing. It is saying, well, I like that commandment, but I don't like that commandment. Do you know my hardest issues with the Word of God are the areas of the Word of God that point directly to the needs of my own life? When I read over certain passages of Scripture and I don't like what it says there, I don't want to follow that because my flesh is against it. For years now, I've tried to help people that are dealing with certain matters in their life, and I try to help them in their private counseling session by saying, go to the Word of God and select out verses of Scripture that apply specifically to the matter that you're dealing with and write that verse down on a 3x5 card. So perhaps you're dealing with something that comes in through the eye gate and you're struggling with what you're looking at and you go to the passage and the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. You write that down on a 3x5 card, you put it in your shirt pocket and you carry it with you all day long. You have it as your guidance on the computer, you have it as your guidance in the video system, you have it as your guidance on the TV. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Now, if your eye gate is the area of your struggle, you're going to have this attitude, well, I'll obey some of the commandments of God. But God is saying to all of us, no, I want you to keep my commandments. Perhaps you deal with the world's music, and perhaps you're just addicted to the world's music, and the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse number 8 that I'm supposed to think on these things that are honest and lovely and of good report, virtuous and true. And you know the kind of music that you're listening to right now is in stark contrast to what God would have you to listen to. Well, it's very clear. I just don't want to obey that commandment from the Lord. You see, it's not as though I can pick and choose which commandments I'm going to obey because God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If God made the commandment, then he has the desire for us to be obedient in it. But I'm telling each one tonight that this is the wrestling match in your flesh and spirit. Your flesh has a desire for certain things that may come in through the eye gate, that may come in through the ear gate, that may come in through our senses, or we go to certain places and we just say, well, I'm going to obey these set commandments, but I'm not going to obey these commandments. Perhaps there's one in the audience tonight that would say, well, the commandment from God is thou shalt not kill. I've never killed anybody. But the same one that would say that is the husband that does not love his wife as Christ loved the church. See, the individual like that says, well, I'm right with God because I'm abiding by the commandment thou shalt not kill. But when he comes to Ephesians chapter 5, he doesn't want to hear anything about it. I cannot pick and choose the commandments of God. If I really want to be obedient, then I have to read the Word of God, know what he says in his commandments, and I have to seek to follow all of them. Well, Pastor, are you expecting perfection from me? No, we will never be perfect. But I tell you, when we fail on the commandments of Almighty God, we will know it, we will be convicted of it, and we should be very quick to confess it. If I'm going to obey his commandments, I have to seek to follow all of his commandments. Is this not the principle of Galatians 2:20? where I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If Christ is living in and through me, then I tell you what, we're going to see this life abide by the commandments of the Word of God. And when we're not abiding by those commandments, we're going to have deep conviction, because our flesh and our spirit will be warring against one another. And I tell you, the Spirit will bring conviction to our hearts. Number one, if I am going to obey God's commandments, I have to know the commandments. Do you know the Word of God? Do you even know what the commandments say? Number two, if you're going to obey His commandments, you have to seek to follow all of His commandments. Number three, if I'm going to obey His commandments, I have to understand that this is the true path to freedom. Now, I will be honest with you tonight. That does not make sense to the average young person that's listening to the message tonight. When you say to the young people, the best way to be free is to obey, most young people are going to shake their heads at that. And they may not do it outwardly, but they're going to do it inwardly, because those two things do not make sense. Wait a minute. I want to do my own thing. And yet you're telling me that the broadest expanse of freedom is found in obedience. Well, for everyone listening on live stream, let me ask this question tonight. If I were to drive home tonight to my house, approximately 9 to 10 miles away from this location, and I were to do 85 miles per hour with my windows down, and I was just to drive 85 miles per hour all the way home, and to shout the whole way, freedom! You might say, oh man, that's freedom. Oh, that would be so great. That'd be so awesome. But if I were to do that and I were to pass a law enforcement officer and he or she pulled out behind me and had their blue lights on, and they came up to me as I pulled over and they said, what are you doing? So I was doing 85, officer. Well, don't you know that this is a 35 mile per hour zone? Yes, but I'm free to do whatever I want. What would the officer say back to me? No, you're not. And if I did enough back talking, and if the officer really got aggravated with me, the officer would say something like this, please step out of the car. And then if I backtalk the officer some more, perhaps the officer would now call back up. And if I continued to proclaim my freedom to do whatever I want, the officer might say something like this to me, please turn around. And then if I continued to argue more, the officer might say, please put your hands behind your back. And if I still hadn't gotten it by this time, the officer would take what's called a pair of handcuffs, and they would impound my car, and they would put me in the back of an uncomfortable seat. And then we would ask this question, but wait, I'm free. Would I be free at that time? No. No, because then I would be paying the price for going outside the boundary lines of obedience. Now, that's if I went home tonight and I did 85 all the way home. And if I passed that police officer and the police officer saw me doing 85 in a 35 mile per hour zone, they by every right would pull me over and in all likelihood would remove my freedom from me. Now, let's use the same scenario, and let's say I put all four of my windows down and I enjoy the night air and I do 35 when it's 35 miles per hour, and I do 45 when it's 45 miles per hour, and I do 50 when it's 50 miles per hour, and I pass that same police officer. And instead of that police officer pulling out behind me and lighting up those pretty blue lights, which causes all the blood to rush from your head all the way to your toes, and you're nervously saying to yourself, are they pulling me over? Are they pulling me over? Instead of that police officer pulling out and lighting it up, the police officer sees me pass at 35 and waves, says, hey, have a good night. Why? Because I'm still in the boundary lines of obedience. Now, I understand how it was when I was young. I thought obedience was a constraint keeping me from doing what I wanted to do. But as I'm older, I understand better. Obedience is actually there as a great arena of freedom. And as long as I'm willing to stay within those fence lines, I know for a fact that God is honored and I can enjoy life. You know, the only rules that I had a problem with here at the academy were the rules that I broke. You know, the only rules that I didn't like in Christian college were the rules that I didn't abide by. But for the most part, if I was following the rule book, I had no problems with my teachers. I had no problems with the faculty and staff. I got along with everyone. I was excited to see them. I couldn't wait for the next day. But when I went outside the boundary lines, I realized very quickly, this is not freedom. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says to the churches there at Galatia, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty, here's where it is, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is he saying here? He's saying that you and I as believers, in obeying his commandments, are actually servants of Jesus Christ. And as such, we are free to obey. What's the other side of that? The other side of that is before Christ. Instead of enjoying freedom in Christ, before Christ, I was enslaved. And I was enslaved to Satan and to sin. And in that life, there was no hope. But I was made free in Christ. So we might say it this way, obedience brings freedom. Disobedience brings bondage. When we ask ourselves what it means to obey God, we have to ask this question, or we have to make this statement. If I'm going to obey his commandments, then I have to know his commandments. There's number one. Number two, if I'm going to obey his commandments, then I have to seek to follow all of his commandments. I can't pick and choose. I need to be adhering to what God says in his word. Number three, if I'm going to obey his commandments, I have to understand that it is the path of freedom. And then one more tonight. As we consider what it means to obey God, here's the last one. If I'm going to obey his commandments, I have to understand the impact that my life will have on those around me. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, for that to happen, I have to spend time in his word to know his commandments. I can't pick and choose. I can't say I'm going to follow this one and leave this one, and follow this one, leave this one. No, God says, I want you to abide by all my commandments. I must understand that if I live within the fence line of this book, that's the path of ultimate freedom. That's what it means to have liberty in Christ, to obey him and his word. But I want you to see tonight in closing that our obedience to Christ has an impact on others around us. He says to his apostles right here, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The apostles in a few verses before this said, show us the Father. Jesus demonstrated the Father by having them think back to what he had lived out in front of them. And he said, if you want to see the Father, then look at what I've done and shown from my life. Well, I say to every believer that's a part of FBT, the world is in desperate need of seeing the Son lived out in people's lives. And that ought to be demonstrated in the life of every saved person at FBT, because we not only declare that we love him, but we demonstrate it by keeping his commandments. So let's go back to our illustration then. When I say that I love my wife, is it enough to only say it? No. There has to be a demonstration of it. So if I only said the vows but don't live the vows out, if I only said it to her now and again, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you, but I never demonstrated it in any of my actions, is there anyone in my community that would know she's my wife? She's the most important thing to me. The truth of the matter is that the way that people will know that I love God is because I keep his commandments. I'm not reaching perfection this side of heaven. But I tell you what, the world is watching how you and I respond to the commandments of God. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 19, the Apostle Paul commended the believers in Rome, and he said this, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." Think about this issue of obedience the next time you go into a Walmart and you see a mother or a father that's trying to take care of toddlers that are not obedient. Think about this as you walk down the aisle and perhaps you hear them several aisles away begging for a toy or screaming because they didn't get to go where they wanted to go in the store. And you think to yourself, boy, that young person is really, really upset right now, and there's something not right. You think about that. And then you contrast that with the mother or father that's taking their child in the cart, and the child is content and happy and just going down through the aisles and not fighting for stuff, not grabbing at toys, but just very content. And then you go up to the checkout counter and think about this, that you're behind the screaming child or you're behind the obedient child. Does that have an impact on your thoughts of that family? Now, I'm not saying it's always a testament to what's going on behind closed doors, but I do think that there are times where we get behind that family with the well-behaved child and we think to ourselves, my, there must be some work that's being done in the life of that child to have that young person be so content in the store. In other words, we might say it this way, their obedience speaks to everyone around them. And just like their obedience speaks to everyone around them, when there's that disobedient child that's throwing the tantrum, that's grabbing at toys, that wants everything for themselves, and just creating a huge stir, it also speaks. But it speaks something very different. And I wonder tonight, as we close, I wonder if the world is looking at you and I as believers, and they're watching our life, and they're matching up our life with what they know about the Bible. And instead of seeing the obedient child, they see a disobedient child. They see the tantrum. They see the spirit of the cantankerous spirit. And they look at our lives, and even though we're verbally claiming that we love God, they do not see it in how we obey his commandments. And I challenge each and every one of us tonight. This is not because we attend a certain church or we want to hold up the light of a certain church. It's not because we attend a certain school and academy. There's a much higher calling, and that higher calling is following Jesus Christ, being an example of him. And I ask you tonight, if you love God, do you keep his commandments? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak again to these folks tonight. Thank you for the opportunity for them to listen in to this live stream and to be able to think on this verse. There's not many words in this verse, but oh, how important of a verse it is. I pray that our lives would be known by obedience, that we would learn to follow you, that we'd use the Word of God to keep us from sin, that we'd use the Word of God to light the way of sanctification. Lord, I pray for parents to have wisdom as they train their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that those children might know the path of obedience and that they might walk therein. I pray for each believer that's watching via live stream and contemplating their own life, and perhaps they're like that child in the aisle that is screaming and throwing a tantrum and just out of sorts and disobedient. And that's kind of how they're acting in relationship with their Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for conviction tonight and pray that they'd make things right with you, that we'd order our steps aright, we'd be obedient, and that that obedience would have an impact on the lives of the people around us. It's very clear from your word that the Roman believers had an impact on others. And I pray here in 2020 that we'd have that same kind of impact on our coworkers, our neighbors, our family members, and our friends, that they might see Jesus Christ in us. May you find us faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Good night.